Hello, this is Daniel Poppy, pastor at Emmaus Road Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message will help you grow in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can do so by visiting theroadfc.org and click on the giving link.
So as we dive in today, I was reminded of a story. You know, just before Mother Teresa's death, she made a rare television appearance on 60 Minutes. At one point in the interview, the journalist, Dan Rather, was interviewing her, and he asked the question, "When you pray, what do you say?" And she answered, she said, "I don't say anything. I just listen." You know, she was referring to a stage of prayer that, you know, kind of for better or for worse, you know, a lot of us don't always get to. We don't always get to this stage in prayer in our lives. But for those who do, we experience a whole new dimension of what it means to have a life in prayer. We've been working through these dimensions of prayer this month in our series on practicing prayer, practicing the way of prayer as Jesus demonstrated for us. Of course, the last 2 weeks we heard talking to God and talking with God. This week we'll be considering listening to God. And next week, Bob will be closing us out with being with God in prayer. As we mature, we begin to pray in our own words, but in time, we desire not just to speak to God, but to listen to God, to hear his voice. And this can sometimes cause some tension for us. The desire to hear God's voice is, this is the Holy Spirit working in the heart of the disciple. The Holy Spirit generates this desire in us. But sometimes we don't always feel that good at it. Last May, we kind of talked about this topic in depth when we had our sermon on the Good Shepherd, and it came out of this passage in John chapter 10, which is so important for us. Today, we're going to be returning to this passage as our foundation, but then we're going to be considering the various ways that we can hear God's voice when we listen. Different ways that when we open ourselves to the Lord and we are in prayer, that God oftentimes speaks to us. So before we open our passage in John chapter 10, I'd invite us to pray. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us to be devoted to your teaching and to your word, that through it we may hear your voice and follow it into eternal life. Amen. Amen. John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but will run. They will run from him because they do not know the stranger's voice. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, for Jesus, discipleship to him is not just about learning of doctrine or understanding theology or perhaps even following a rule of life, a strict way of practicing with the Lord. For Jesus, it's an interactive, dynamic, living relationship. You know, I love the story that we have in Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha and the disciples gathered at their house. Of course, this story tells of Jesus being there and many listening to his teaching, but, you know, Martha is being hospitality. She's doing all the things, and she gets frustrated with her sister who's just sitting at Jesus' feet. It says, Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to all that he said. You know, this phrase, to sit at the feet, this is common language in the first century world of a disciple or a student or an apprentice learning from their teacher. In other words, their teacher's just doing life, talking, and to sit at their feet is not just to sit there and to be distracted. It is to sit there and to hear, to listen. A disciple is one who is regularly found sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. But this idea of prayer as listening to God is not original to Jesus. It's a central theme running all throughout Scripture. We spent the last two Sundays using the Lord's Prayer as our guide because it is the central prayer of the way of Jesus. But there's an even more ancient prayer that we have in Scripture that Jesus himself would have been very familiar with. He would have prayed this prayer three times a day during the various times of prayer. This prayer would even be written on slips of paper, and they would roll up those pieces of paper and they would hold it to their forehead and tie it with a string to their forehead. I mean, they put the WWJD bracelets to shame with that. This prayer would be put on a piece of paper and rolled into a tiny little scroll and then nailed to the doorpost of the house. That's how familiar this prayer was to the Hebrew people. And what does this prayer say? You're probably familiar with it. We've talked about it a time or two here. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, Shema, or hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. That opening word, Shema, in English, it can mean to hear, but it also can mean to obey or to heed, to listen. In this passage, our good Father, who loves and cares for us, is lovingly asking his children to listen, yes, but also to obey, to heed, in order that it may go well with us. He's asking us to listen. Learning to hear God's voice is one of the greatest tasks of a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. But there's even a greater task, and that is learning to obey his voice. Kind of goes hand in hand. But to obey, we must believe and trust. Otherwise, obedience to these words that we don't believe in or we don't trust are simply obstacles in our lives, things that we need to work around, things that we need to avoid. But instead, God gives these promises as a path to fulfillment, to satisfaction, to happiness, until we can come to trust in the deepest part of our hearts that what God wants for us is our deepest satisfaction, our deepest healing, and our deepest happiness. You know, we're going to have a hard time yearning to hear God's voice. So this might be step one for us today in listening to God, is how well do we trust him? But once again, we come to trust in Jesus' good intentions towards us. When we learn this, suddenly the desire to hear and to know God's voice becomes much more compelling for us. To hear and to know God's voice becomes a priority, becomes a desire, a pleasure in our lives. You know, as I said before, oftentimes few of us get to this point, or oftentimes we might struggle with this. We might feel like we do good at one season of our life and then we end up in another season and we're not doing so good in this area anymore. You know, but we often do chase after God when we've got a major decision ahead, or perhaps there's uncertainty in our future. In those moments, we run to God, and you know, it's often not so much an attempt to listen or to obey as a kind of divination, or we're looking for some miraculous revelation of what we should do in our unknown circumstance, right? But when we sit down and listen to Jesus, our goal is not necessarily to get a fortune cookie to tell us what we should do. Our goal is simply to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, wherever it may lead. And it may surprise us. So the question is, how? How do we hear God's voice? How do we actually do it? I love this. This is kind of how I'm built. A lot of preachers or, you know, even classes on preaching, they may say to like kind of lay out the ideas, but let the people make the interpretation. I'm a very practical person. So I like these kind of things. God comes to each of us through our own contours of our own lives, our personality, our background, our stage of life. In fact, you likely already recognize God at work in you in many ways. You've maybe heard his voice. But like that story from the Old Testament of Samuel in the temple, we might not recognize it as God yet. So here are six ways that I have to offer, or we have to offer, of how we may hear God's voice. Number one, the life of Jesus. This might seem obvious, but it's a good starting point. The author of Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's Hebrews 1:1-3. In fact, Jesus is called the Word all throughout Scripture in the New Testament. Even today, we refer maybe to the Bible as the Word of God, but in truth, all of Scripture knew the Word of God to be Jesus, the exact representation of God to us and his kingdom and his good news. So hearing God's voice begins and ends with Jesus, the Word. So for most of us, step one in listening to God is simply becoming intimately familiar with all the things that Jesus said, all the things that Jesus did, all the things that Jesus did not do when given opportunity. And perhaps even the nature in which he did the things that he did. Step one for each of us is simply becoming intimately aware of Jesus. So that said, we need a way to do this, which comes primarily for us in number two, which is Scripture. God speaks to us through Scripture. He speaks to us through the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospels. But also through Scripture, we have numerous instances in which God's audible voice is made known. The Ten Commandments in the Torah. Numerous moments in which God spoke to his people through the judges or the kings or the prophets. But much of the Bible is God speaking to us through the minds, the inspired writings of humans. God inspired people to write the words of Scripture. The Dutch theologian Herman Bavinck said, Holy Scripture is not an arid story or an ancient chronicle, but it's an ever-living, eternally youthful word which God now and always issues to his people. It is the internally ongoing story of God with us. Now, there's all sorts of ways to approach Scripture in learning Scripture. For many of us, if step one is still part of what we're doing, we just need to spend time in the Gospels. We need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John kind of over and over. You need to listen to them as you drive to work. Just let these stories saturate, become a part of your history and your knowledge. But long ago, the spiritual fathers developed another way of studying the Scripture, which is specifically designed to listen for God's voice. It's called Lectio Divina, a Latin phrase meaning spiritual reading. In Lectio Divina, you read a short passage of Scripture, slowly and quietly and prayerfully. And you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate a particular word or a particular phrase, an idea from that passage that God is speaking directly or uniquely to you in this season through. It is a little bit different than Bible study. If Bible study is trying to work through the mechanics of what does this text mean to who and in what period of time and maybe who's it not talking to? And how does this like play out in the bigger story of Scripture? If that's Bible study, Lectio asks, how is God inviting me into his heart through this text? Now, some humility and some accountability must be used when studying the Bible in this way. Not to manipulate the Bible or to allow other voices to manipulate the Bible, as the tempter did even for Jesus in the desert. We're not asking God for a new meaning in Scripture. We're asking for what an aspect of the original meaning in this passage, how that's working uniquely in our lives in this moment. It's a powerful way to bring Scripture to life in our prayer by allowing us to hear God's voice, perhaps in new and fresh ways. Surprisingly, this can kind of be hard if you've never done this, but I encourage you to give this a try. Many Christians live as if God's voice, God's speaking, you know, it was a bunch of really important things that happened a long time ago, and a bunch of people wrote those things down in Scripture, but then ever since, God's been pretty silent. And while, yes, the canon of Scripture is closed, we're not adding new books to our Bible, in other words, heaven is anything but silent. The God whose first recorded act in all of Scripture was to speak the cosmos into existence, whose Son said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the heart of God, the mouth of God, who called all followers by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and immediately caused the new church to be born and to prophesy. That God is still speaking, bringing Scripture to life in our hearts. But he doesn't even stop there. Third, our circumstances, our experiences. I'm sure that many of you can testify to the unquestionable activity of God's blessing or presence throughout your life. Perhaps through his grace, through his love, through his healing, through redemption in your circumstances. You're here because you have some history with God. Perhaps it's just a longing. Perhaps it's something he's reawakening in you. Perhaps it's something that you've been living into for a long, long time. Your experience tells of a unique story of God. Through the ways and the means that he's interacted in your life. When you look at your life, consider the opportunities, the closed doors, the limitations, the giftings, the relationships, the deliverances, the protections, the inspirations, the successes, all of these things are how God has been working. Add to that when and where and to whom we were born, the people that we've known, the places where we've lived. We can find God in all of it, even in the hardest, ugliest parts, when we allow him to reveal himself. I love this way of saying this. Paula D'Arcy once said, God comes to us disguised as our own lives. Learning to discern how God is coming to you through the events or perhaps even the non-events of your life is a key part in learning to hear God's voice. Some of us are better record keepers than others. My wife Melissa is a masterful record keeper. A couple years ago, I discovered a journal for her that she's been using, and she records the things that happen every day. She writes down the things that she does, the hours that she spends doing things. She even has a computer document to help her kind of sort through this. Hope I'm not embarrassing you. I really do admire this. She can tell us who we had lunch with. She knows who she spent time talking on the phone with. All of this is a way of recording the history of God's story in her life. It's amazing. So some of us are better than others at doing this, but even those of us who have to stop and to think and to remember, we can see God in our circumstances and our experiences. Next, with care and humility, God often reveals himself to us through the desires of our own heart. You know, much of secular culture says, be true to yourself, trust yourself, follow your heart. And honestly, I love that. I love that. Unfortunately, Christians, we tend to be skeptical of this kind of stuff, this kind of talk. But why is that? What are we afraid of? Yeah, being selfish or perhaps being misled by our own propensity towards sin. I get that. But why throw out the whole thing? After all, we do believe that we're created in God's image, don't we? That God's image is deep within us. And perhaps the sin of the world has covered that. Perhaps we need Jesus to help take off those layers of dust. But deep within us is the Imago Dei. The writers of Scripture, they have a very sophisticated view of human desire. They tell us that the heart is complex. Yes, full of beauty and light and goodness, and perhaps at times full of ugliness or shadow or darkness. But the heart is beautifully complex. Some of our desires, when left unchecked, could lead us to difficulty or to hurt or to ruin. But other desires are actually God working within us, God speaking deep into our heart. Generally, desire is a good indication of design. In other words, God made birds to want to fly and fish to want to swim. What has he made you to want? Of course, because our hearts are often distracted, they are often selfish, we need to be quick to recognize when our desires lead us outside of the model that we've attained through step 1 and 2, Jesus and Scripture. Right? With God's help, we can sift through those desires, though, and find his heart within us. Overall, desire is one of the many ways that we hear God's voice. So, if you feel the desire to move to a new city, or to shift jobs, or to try a new thing, to perhaps change your major in college, whatever, if you experience that desire, maybe listen to that. Maybe ask God, what is this desire? Where is it coming from? You know, don't rush. The Lord will reveal himself in time. A godly desire will be confirmed over and over. So let these desires sit within you. Most importantly, though, talk to God about them. Talk to others, trusted mentors in your life. Share, hey, I've been having this idea lately. What do you think? You know, I think that's one way God helps confirm. This kind of leads to number 5, which is all throughout Scripture, over and over, God speaks to his people through the voice of others. We call this prophetic action. Prophecy is not primarily predicting the future nor pronouncing judgment, but most of prophecy in Scripture is what the Apostle Paul describes as words for the strengthening, the encouraging, and the comfort of God's people. In the Pentecostal or charismatic tradition of the church, of which the Church of Nazarene has its roots, people often hear God's voice for one another. We often hear God's voice through one another. Often it's simply as simple as someone offering a prayer for you, and they didn't know the circumstance that you're experiencing, but as they pray, God speaks directly to your heart. Perhaps while you're praying or while you're worshiping, in your mind's eye, you begin to see a picture, you begin to have an idea. These are various ways that God works through prophetic action in our lives. And again, we take these things and we offer them to the Lord. We test them against Scripture and in community. We can hear God's voice in this. I believe deeply in this type of prayer, this type of interaction, God in our lives. As a matter of fact, I mean, most of my story, most of our story together with God could not be explained outside of this type of prayer or this type of action in which God clearly revealed something that we were not expecting through another. Often people prophesy to us without even knowing it. They just say the right thing at the right time. But as we hear it, we feel the weight of the Spirit of God. We sense His word in us. And the encouragement is to grab onto that. Sometimes God speaks even through our dreams, through our own visions, like a waking dream. Around the world, God is calling lost people to Himself through dreams and visions just like this. When we were missionaries in the Philippines, one of the most common ways in which people in the Middle East were coming to knowledge of Jesus was through dreams. We would hear this story over and over of someone having a dream of someone in white calling them. You know, there's various forms of it. And while, yes, this may be more active in other parts of the world and a little bit less here in the West, God still speaks through dreams. In Scripture, dreams and visions was one of the most common ways in which God spoke to His people. Some Christians are leery of this kind of listening, you know, as a way, you know, perhaps it seems risky, you know. Whether it's a dream or a vision or whether it's someone saying, hey, I just wanted to encourage you by saying, you know, this or that. You know, we might be leery of that because anybody could say just about anything and say, God told me to tell you. We've seen that go wrong. We have. So we do need to take those things and then hold them to God, hold them before God. When we get a word from someone, perhaps someone says something or something catches us off guard, we need to let that idea kind of persist in our mind and simply ask God to reveal Himself in it. The Spirit of truth will not lead you astray. So bring these things to the Spirit of truth. Which finally leads us to our sixth way of hearing from God, listening prayer. Listening prayer is simply waiting quietly for God to speak into our heart or mind as we spend time in prayer. When Christ and the Holy Spirit dwell within us, God has direct access to our hearts, to our minds. You know, people often wonder why we don't hear God speaking audibly these days. You know, one easy answer or one easy way to look at that question is this idea that perhaps God doesn't need to. He already has direct access to your heart and to your mind through the Holy Spirit. Think about it. What is communication? Communication is simply guided thought. Let's do an exercise. Let's consider the most recent glorious sunset you've seen. In this moment, you're already kind of reliving that moment. You're reliving that picture. You can see that sunset. By listening to me ask that question and then allowing your mind to go in that direction, you're experiencing guided thought. You're experiencing guided thought, which, you know, is all that really communication is. It's what preaching is guiding your thoughts. It sounds creepy when you say it like that way, but that's what communication is. God doesn't necessarily need to speak audibly to us to guide our mind. He can reach directly into our innermost thoughts, feelings, and desires through the Spirit. We often have a thought come to mind and we think, is that God? No, it's just in my head. Well, of course it's in your head, but that doesn't mean that it's not God. Your head is where your thoughts are formed. Emotions are created, ideas are born, and God lives and works through these ideas, through these things. Yes, our thoughts, like prophecy and experience and our desires, they all must be tested against Scripture and against the word of Jesus, through the lens of Jesus, to determine whether they are pointing us in a direction of God or whether they're leading us away. But the truth remains that God can and will speak directly into your thought life. You know, we have this story in Scripture. One of God's most famous prophets named Elijah was accustomed to hearing God's voice. Whether that was thoughts or whether that was audible, we don't know. But there is this one story where he's one day on the mountain seeking to hear God's voice, and there's an earthquake. But God's voice was not in the earthquake. But then there's a mighty wind. It's throwing rocks around. It's threatening to tear the mountain down. But God's voice was not in the mighty wind. And finally, a silence falls. And the faintest of whispers, God's voice is there. Much of developing a rich prayer life with God is learning to quiet our mind and our body in order to simply hear God's quiet voice. Learning to quiet the outer or perhaps the inner noise that we experience in order to sit before God, to hear his voice and to obey. Now, of all these things and all of these, when we're listening to God, we need to learn and develop this skill that we hear all throughout Scripture as defined as discernment. It's what Jesus was talking about in that passage in John chapter 10. Discernment is the ability to sift through voices, sift through ideas, events, thoughts, feelings with clarity, determining what may or may not be from the Lord and what may be our selfish ambition or selfish desires or what may be truly the voice of God leading us. Without discernment, you know, it would be very easy to get wildly off base, or worse, to open our mind to the world or to the flesh or to the enemy himself. Discernment is an absolute necessity when learning to hear God's voice. So discernment is both a work of the Spirit within us, but it's also a skill we develop over time as we mature in our life with Christ. It's most effective when it's done, not just alone, but in community. This is vital, that discernment is most often done in community, not just in your own mind. Whether that's with your spouse, with a friend, with a roommate, with your life group, to grow in discernment is a key task of the disciple of Christ. Later in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is an example or a picture of discerning Jesus' voice. So how do we grow in the ability of discernment? How do we grow to recognize these words? Again, simply put, the same way that we learn to discern the voice of our parents when we're babies, learning to bond with others around us. In the same ways that we learn to recognize the voice of a trusted friend who becomes important in our lives, it happens through long hours of listening. Our brains come to recognize almost immediately a person's voice, and the next time we hear it, we recognize them again. We just need to spend time listening to God. The practice exercises that we have this week in our worship folder, kind of the second and third page of our notes today, have a couple of activities in which we can kind of live out some of the things that we've been talking about, ways that you can perhaps engage in a Lectio Divina, a way of studying Scripture, but also a way to join in listening prayer. These activities are all about listening to God's voice. So our final invitation, or maybe what I would kind of encourage as the linchpin for us this week, is that hearing God's voice takes more than just a quiet mind. We did say it takes that. Hearing God's voice also requires a surrendered heart. After all, why would God speak to us if we're not going to listen anyway, if we're not going to heed his voice? Hearing God's voice does take quiet, but it also takes a surrendered heart. For you, this maybe began years ago, perhaps as a child when you prayed to ask Jesus into your life, or perhaps you've, you know, maybe never said a formal prayer, but you've just always been here. You've just always done this. Well, this morning, as we kind of move into the, you know, the closing of our sermon, and as we move into these activities of listening to God this week, I think an important step for all of us would be to surrender our heart so that the words that we're hearing, we can trust, are coming from God. So that as we spend time listening to God this week, He has the ability to speak into us. We can trust Him. We can hear Him and follow Him. So as we close, I'd like to lead us in a prayer. I'll just pray this for us. And this will lead us directly into our time at the table. Let us pray. Father, if we're honest with ourselves, in many ways, big and small, we know that You've always been there. Lord, we felt You when our hearts quickened, perhaps during prayer or worship. We felt Your love and Your acceptance through family and friends. We've seen the truth of Your kingdom that fights for justice and truth and mercy over selfish ambition or personal gain or subjugation of the weak. Jesus, Your ways are good and true and right. And Lord, You've invited me into those ways while offering freedom from sin and death, which entered into the world so long ago. Lord, I may not be able to explain it all, but Jesus, today we say yes to You. Yes to health, yes to forgiveness, yes to freedom from all that leads to death in mind, body, and spirit. And Lord, as we learn to listen to Your voice, to discern Your good will in our lives, Lord, we do ask for Your help, Your nearness. Lord, allow us to know You and to trust You. Lord, guide us this week in learning Your ways, in following and heeding and obeying what You're leading us into. Lord, in trusting that You are good and Your love endures forever. Amen.